what we are and what we represent. And you might get people to chant Hare Krishna like that, but then again it comes to the same point. When are you going to tell them that actually by telling you that I was cheating you, and the real thing is to get free from all material desires. You're not this body anyway, so what is it? Your backache, that's just your karma. At what point are you going to tell them that actually I was talking nonsense and now you should accept this as actual sense? How are they going to believe you? There are so many arguments like this. We should do Hare Krishna rock and roll and many people will be attracted. But then when you stop the rock and roll and ask them to follow four regulated principles and all this kind of thing, if they come for the music instead of for Krishna, then when the music stops, are they still going to stay for Krishna? So it is possible by various means to try to bring people into Krishna consciousness, but we have to see that, first of all, we're bringing people in, but what are we bringing them to? And will they... How are we going to make the transition from offering them something for... Ultimately, we're offering them something for sense gratification. We say, take Krishna for your sense gratification. So, how to change that attitude? If we ourselves present Krishna consciousness as another kind of mundane, cheating religion for sense gratification. So, you can, if you like, you can preach like that. You might get many followers, maybe not, because, like I say, there are plenty of other people in the cheating religion field, and they're more expert than us. And the teachings of our acharyas are not really meant for cheating others. So it's a little difficult to adjust it to the cheating style. So, then if we present it like that, chanting Hare Krishna cures your backache or such a thing, then they'll try it. It may or may not work, but if it doesn't work, they'll go to Sai Baba or whatever if they find... The thing is that Krishna, he generally doesn't fulfill people's material desires in the way they want. So if we promise it like that, it may or may not work, and even if it works one time, it's not likely to work at other times, because Krishna doesn't deal with his devotees like that. He's not like Kam Shanta Karmanan Siddhim Yajanti Adevataha. He's not like the devatas who fulfill material desires. Krishna's not like that. So if we say like that, it's for one thing, it may or may not work. It's not that Krishna's bound to do what we say, that because we tell them that chanting Hare Krishna will cure your backache or help you to get a better job or whatever, it's not that Krishna is bound to help you like that. It's better that we have faith in what Krishna says and stick to that, and then persons who are sincere will be attracted by that. There are dozens of gurus and swamis and yogis saying that their process is good for controlling mind control. They say mind control so you can control your mind so you can enjoy sense gratification better with it. Control your mind so that you don't have so much anxiety and tension and you can sleep better at night. So there are dozens of, there's Deepak Chopra has written a book on how to sleep better at night. And there already, and there's this whole art of living thing, which is just how to control your mind and be peaceful in this material, how to live happily in this material world. I mean, there are people who are fed up with all this kind of cheating religion and who are looking for something better. And if we present, then we'll... You see, the level that we preach at, that level of person we will get. If we tell that, you chant Hare Krishna, and you just chant Hare Krishna, and there are certain gurus in our sampradaya who go around and they initiate people without, on the spot. If you happen to fall in the path of their eyesight, they initiate you. Any living being that happens to come close to them gets initiated, whether they're following any principles or not, whether they're chanting Hare Krishna or not. And then they announce, you see, I have so many, our Guru Maharaj has so many disciples. But that bringing in many people by any means, it's not very helpful to them. It doesn't actually help them very much. Whereas if we just state the truth that someone says, well, you know, I have a backache, so what can you do to help? And we say, well, make sure you don't come back. As long as you're in this material world, definitely you'll have backaches and headaches and so many disturbances. So chant Hare Krishna and go to Krishna, and then you can live with your backache much better, because whatever you got is your karma anyway, because we were all sinful in previous lives. So better go to Krishna, get out of this miserable material world. And persons who are sincere, they will respond to that and take it up. Persons who are seeking for the truth, who have some inclination towards the truth. Otherwise, we may attract pious materialists. If we're so expert that we can bring so many people and change their hearts, that's very good. But what is the process of changing the hearts? By speaking Krishna Upadesh. And Krishna Upadesh, we don't find Krishna telling Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, yes, well, you know, you do whatever you like and I'll bless you and you'll be happy in this material world. Just the opposite. Krishna doesn't preach like that. And the bona fide acharyas also never preach like that. And in fact, in Bhakti Godhead magazine, at one point for a few months, this was about 1976, they were in the beginning they were showing pictures of what we might call ordinary people in secular life, saying, well, I chant Hare Krishna whenever it's so and so, Jane Smothers, age 43, printing consultant, and shows a picture of her and then a quote from her saying that whenever my workload gets too much and I feel overly stressed, I chant Hare Krishna and it really helps me to cool down. And then you have, like, you know, Tom Smulton, age 29, I don't know, veterinary consultant, saying, I used to have so many problems getting to sleep at night, but now that I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I feel much more peaceful and everything's much better. So some devotees, they showed this to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada changed the whole staff of Bhakti Godhead, the whole editorial staff, when he saw that. He said, we should tell people to chant Hare Krishna for love of God, not for any material benefit. And he said, he brought back Satsarup Maharaj, I think it was, as the editor, and he said, let's get back to the old-fashioned Krishna consciousness. So we can tell people that you can be free from tension and you can control your mind so you can concentrate on your studies and get a better degree so you can be a successful muha. So we can preach like that. I mean, that you can get a better job and all this kind of thing if you chant Hare Krishna. But then it's a cheating kind of religion. It's logon ko kushkar karma. Make the people... Let them hear what they want to hear. We want people to chant Hare Krishna and let them hear what they want to hear. But that chanting, it won't be very effective. It won't be the chanting of just like a child calls for the mother in helplessness, that you're my only shelter. It won't be chanting Ainanda Tanuja Kinkaram Paditang Bam Vishame Bhavan Budho Kripayata Vapada Pankajastita Duli Sadrusham Vachanta. Won't be that chanting. It'll be this chanting. Krishna, you do this for me. We're asking Krishna to become us. We want to use the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in the service of our sense gratification. So it may seem like a good policy temporarily, but people will come. But this is how these upper sampradayas begin, because people, they just change things a little bit, or they incorporate it with some sense gratification. Definitely, if we incorporate sense gratification, well, not definitely, maybe we can get many followers. I mean, there are people preaching Vaishnavism in India who are getting many followers. In Andhra Pradesh, there's this, he's getting many followers, this Sri Vaishnav Chinnajiya Swami. He has many followers, but he doesn't tell them, you know, they just become his followers, that's all. There's nothing to follow. Just he tells them to, maybe they're supposed to chant Om Namo Narayanaya, something like that. There's nothing really to follow. So it's easy to get many followers when there's nothing to follow. People just feel, they like to have a picture of their guru on the wall and feel guru is blessing me, but they're not sincere. And it would appear that he's also not that sincere about uplifting them, otherwise he'd teach them the truth. And there's this Kripaluji Maharaj, he was famous before, but just recently he's becoming very big and very famous. And he talks about Radha Krishna Leela, but he's cheating people. Because he's, for one thing, he's speaking on all such very big high topics, which people don't have the adhika for entering into anyway. So it's a kind of quasi-spiritual entertainment that they hear such things. And again, it's a thing, he doesn't give any principles to follow. So he has many followers, and people like it. The people like it. Many times we hear that, well, we should do this and the people will like it. Whenever I hear that, I know there's something wrong. Everything we should do so Krishna will like it. That is Krishna consciousness. Not that the people will like it. The people will be attracted. And usually people have this idea, just like you see, that they come and, oh, that was a really good kirtan, I really enjoyed that. Or we can have some drama, well, how was the drama? Oh yeah, it was really good. But everything's meant for Krishna's pleasure, not for our pleasure. That, again on the topic of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said that my whole message, everything I've come to say, is just to understand this point. Who is drashta and what is drishya? Who is the seer and who is to be seen? Who is bhogi and who is bhogya? Who is the enjoyer? We are not the enjoyer, we are to be enjoyed by Krishna. He said this is the essence of my whole message. Just that people can understand this point. But he said, how few understood it? Mostly we take to devotional service for our own so-called benefit. Calculating. We calculate, if I do this, I'll get this benefit from Krishna. But the very essence of pure devotional service is there's no calculation of what I will get, simply how I will serve Krishna, how he will be satisfied. This should be taught. Instead of speaking about Krishna's leaders with the gopis, which people, as long as they have this idea, as long as they're not free from the idea that I am the enjoyer, as long as they're not fully situated in the understanding that Krishna is the enjoyer and I am to be enjoyed, then hearing Radha Krishna Leela will simply add to their, hearing all these intricacies that will simply add to their diseased mentality that I am the enjoyer. Therefore it is more necessary to speak on this Sambandha Gyan, proper understanding of what is our relationship with Krishna? Because we are diseased, thinking I am the enjoyer. If there is God, his function is to make me enjoy better. I have a backache or my mind is disturbing me, therefore God should intercede and help me to enjoy myself better. That is his function. So, offering sense gratification for in the name of bhakti, it might seem like a good preaching ploy, but Ultimately, unless we get free from that mentality, there is no bhakti. In the beginning, we may offer, come, take prasadam, delicious prasadam, eat. So, all right, that's part of Krishna consciousness. We find that's also there in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But we should come to the point of understanding that we are prasad. Is not something, Krishna prasad is not something to be simply to be enjoyed like a materialistic person enjoying, but rather prasad is to be honored, to maintain the body and soul together so we can serve Krishna. Actual enjoyment of prasadam comes, that can only be possible when we're fixed in the understanding that this is not for my enjoyment. I am not the enjoyer. Krishna is the enjoyer. That's why actual preaching, it means going against everything in the world. Because the whole current of the world is towards Maya. And actual Krishna consciousness is to go towards Krishna. Actual preaching means there must be always a struggle. Otherwise, there are many pious people who will take up chanting at a superficial level. And of course that's better for them than not chanting. But unless we really train people in this understanding that we are not the enjoyer, we're to be enjoyed by Krishna, then even you see there can be many initiated devotees, there are many pious people, they'll chant and they'll follow four regulated principles. But this principle, that we are not the enjoyer, we are to be enjoyed by Krishna, they may never imbibe that if they're not taught it. And they may be going on Braj Mandal, Parikrama and so many things and imagining themselves to be highly advanced in Krishna consciousness. But they never made any progress because they never got beyond the basic point of understanding that we are not the enjoyers. Everything we do is meant to be for Krishna's enjoyment. Many people may take to Krishna consciousness because it gives them relief from material suffering. That's true, but when we have to go on beyond that. And many... many questions can be answered. Actually, all questions, all understandings of Siddhanta can be. If we simply understand this one point, then everything else follows from that. Now we may say, well, for preaching we can do so many things. That's true, but we have to be careful. Because often we see the tendency is, in the name of preaching, that things tend to get compromised and watered down, and so many things are going on. Then what happens is we may make some adjustment for preaching or some and then people take that as the standard, not understanding that it's a compromise for preaching, a compromise just to make some attraction for people. And people think this is our real message. Become a life member and you don't have to pay for hotel overseas. And people think ISKCON is a hotel company.
I was just reading a conversation there. In one instance, Prabhupada is telling some of the other take money. Like people like beggars. Actually, we are not beggars, but people like beggars. So somehow take their money and engage in Krishna's service. And similarly we say sometimes book distribution, like somehow or other distribute the book. So sometimes we distribute books in not exactly preaching them that how is it going to help them. So we just tell them, see President Nixon said this and this, or maybe Bruce Lee said this and this. So how then this fits into that?
That's true, Prabhupada said somehow or other get them to take a book. But he did also encourage rather that we could be more, that people would take the books on the, not that we have to tell some some lie or something like that. Prabhupada said, if you simply glorify Krishna, that is the best way. If we're not so expert, we may say so many things. But generally, yes, to sell the book, then we may say something. We want them to take the book. We don't expect to convert them on the book. Let the book do its work. So I may say, yes, and this will greatly benefit you. This will help you like this. You can do, but again, you have to be careful. We have to be careful, because we often see that what happens in fundraising is that we paint a picture of ourselves that people want to see, and on that basis we take donations from them, but then we have to adjust ourselves to fit the picture, and then we end up being something which we don't actually want to be, and then the whole purpose of what we're doing is lost. So we have to be very careful. We do often see that in many ISKCON centers, it's just running on, and it's just presented as people want to see. Just like I remember in Bangalore when they were building that temple, this video cassette of Tamal Krishnamurti's preaching is called "Gods, Demigods, and Incarnations." It was very effective for bringing people, for making people understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all different demigods aren't, and Sai Baba isn't either. But that was banned. That was actually was helping to make many people devotees. But then, this is before the Bangalore temple became, before they became completely cut off from ISKCON and all this. So they banned the distribution of that because some followers of Sai Baba who were giving good donations didn't like it. It was making devotees. But then the donations were cut into. So what comes first? Money comes first. It's something we have to consider very carefully. Certainly funds are required for serving Krishna. Actually not, funds are not required for serving Krishna, but if we're preaching Krishna consciousness, then it certainly helps helps things to go along. Money for building temples, distributing prasad and distributing books, funds are required. And there are not many people in this world who are both wealthy and spiritually enlightened enough to offer funds for something which is actually, if people actually knew what our message was, actually very revolutionary. So we may adjust things a little bit this way, that way, the other way. And we see that, like you're saying, preacher in ISKCON in India means someone who goes out and brings money. But there are often people who have, such preachers often can't preach anything because they have no interest in or knowledge of philosophy. They're expert in making people feel happy and taking their money from them. So, but then they don't even want you to preach to such people because they're afraid that if you actually speak about Krishna consciousness to them, then they won't give any donation because they'll see that we're not following it ourselves. So it becomes a quandary. Quandary means, and that's that word again. Now I'm using that here. What is it? Duvidha or dvidha? Dvidha. Dvidha. Dilemma? Dvidha.
It's
duvidha.
Duvidha.
Duvidha. This way or that way. But obviously, I mean, if we think from the point, if we actually think, what is the purpose of ISKCON? It doesn't make any sense to compromise all our principles for the sake of the means should never become the end. So So we have to see. We may adopt various means in preaching, but we have to see what is the end result. And even the end result may look very good. There may be a big temple, but a big temple in and of itself, that is not the aim and object. There are so many big temples in which you'll never hear Krishna consciousness ever spoken. I mean, temples, Shaiva temples, or even ostensibly Vaishnava temples. There are so many Swaminarayan temples in Gujarat, and they consider themselves Vaishnavas, but no one ever going there could ever advance even one step in Krishna consciousness, because they don't have the proper understanding of what is Krishna consciousness. So there's, again in the language of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there's ontology and morphology. In his language, ontology means the essential aspect, the siddhanta. And morphology means the outer show. Morphology in medicine is different. He used it in a different way. The what is seen on the outside. So because most people, they have external, they don't see the internal, they're very shallow, they don't see very deeply. So if they see a big building, a big temple, many programs, and they become attracted and they like to donate, and that's good for them, that helps them. But then if we think that that's only the outward show, you can say that Krishna consciousness is not dependent on buildings and temples and money and programs. Krishna consciousness means the pure desire of the soul to serve Krishna. So that buildings and temples and funds and all these, they don't in themselves constitute Krishna consciousness. So all these things, they may be used as a suitable vehicle for presenting Krishna consciousness to the public. But if we take it that this is in, because the public take this, this is it, this is what ISKCON's all about, big buildings and temples. But if we ourselves think like that, and then we come down to their level, and then where's the benefit for them? Benefit means they get to see the deity and they get to take some prasadam, but it all remains at a very neophyte level. So all these things are required, but we should always know that what is the essence. Hare Krishna Guna Dham Prabhu just arrived. Actually, one thing I should have done before is introduce everyone, because not everyone knows each other here. In fact, I don't know everyone here, almost everyone. Not everyone, but quite a few are not here now. Okay, introduce yourselves. You are
Jagannath
Mishra Das. Well, you could say, in one or two lines, you could say what your service is, and where you're from, and all this kind of thing.
So, I'm from Europe, from Croatia, and staying here in Baroda for 1 year. So we have Sankirtan group now, the entire group doing together, and we will continue with this
solution. John.
Hare Krishna, I'm Sarva Sachinas, serving at World of the University. Good teaching and having a mentor.
John.
Thank you.
The power just went up.
Deepak Bhattar, I am studying in medical last year, and since 4 years I am coming in temple.
Hare Krishna, I'm Kishore Das from Slovenia, Europe, and out here now in India itself, Tamil.
Everyone does everything there.
Hare Krishna, Gaurav Das, from Spain, Gaurav Das.
Means traveling from Baroda, it seems. That's the latest plan. Okay, you can pass it this way also.
Hare Krishna, my name is Nitya Lukas, I'm from Baroda.
Halod is close to Baroda, for those who don't know. And?
And just from studying and chanting books. Hare Krishna, by the blood of God, I am staying in Baroda and doing the job here. Trying to serve Krishna a little bit.
What service are you doing? Tell us a little bit.
Trying to preach to the
helping to organize book distribution during the marathon. Like this.
Hare Krishna, I am Harish. I am studying MSc in Pune.
And what's your connection with Krishna consciousness? That we really want to know.
Right now, I'm concentrating on studies and we have some lectures in our room. That will attend my room. That's it.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. It's the first time he ever said anything publicly in English. Maybe he's going to say. Try. Jai. And the same thing, the same description goes for Sadashi Pandit Das. He's also from Russia, staying in Hyderabad and doing book distribution. Birds of a feather flock together.
Hare Krishna,
it's from Belarus, which for those of you who don't know, was formerly part of the USSR. He's staying in Salem and serving there, newly in India. How long? 2 months? 3 months in India? Dva months. How do you say months in Russian?
You know Russian?
Dva
means...
Dva in Russian is two. It's from Sanskrit. Mesit. Mesit. Is it Dva Mesit? 2 months?
Dva
Mesit. Dva. It changes, right? It's like Sanskrit.
I'm going to talk about Russian. I'm helping Guru Maharaj to publish his books in Russian language.
He translates them and publishes them. And travels with me in Russia, translates all my lectures and everything I say, actually, because in Russia, most people don't know English, the vast majority, so everything has to go through a translator and come back through a translator. He's translator, my translator went out of Russia and comes to India usually in the winter and goes on with his translation here.
Hare Krishna, my name is Gauranga Das.
Gaura! Bhakta Gaura from Croatia. Yes.
My spirit is in
Sankirtan. Jan, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, my name is Bhakta Narayan. I come from Croatia and now I'm staying in India. But I have to be able to do books with Kaya, Kaya Gaura, Krishna, Shara.
This way.
Hare Krishna, I am Dr. Sandeep from Baroda. I am staying at Salem, doing book distribution and all other stuff. Hare Krishna, I am Ravi. I am from Vidyalaya and I am just completing my study and I am helping to preach. I am preaching.
To
Indian
Delhi. Jai. No, you can say also you say Sri Kansa in this way. We're just introducing everyone because not everyone knows everyone else.
I am Sri Kansa Das. I am coming from the concentration of Mangalore in Karnataka.
And that's also one of the places when everyone does everything. There are a few devotees and they're pushing on despite all difficulties.
Hare Krishna, Krishna, Das. I am teaching in Delhi.
You get to join the time.
My name is Jashoda Das, and I came from Hyderabad. I came from Russia, and I was living in Hyderabad. And my service,
And the same description goes for Bhagavan Pandit also. He's been steadily, he's also from Russia. He's doing book distribution based in Hyderabad. They have a Sankirtan party there. So he's been distributing books there steadily for the last, what, 2 or 3 years? You've been in Hyderabad? 3 years. 3 years in India, and maybe last 2 years in Hyderabad? Yeah, very steadily distributing books there. That's good.
Hey Krishna, I'm Satyadam Das, Management Service in India.
Which is, you know, very briefly put in, you go to Vidyanagar, you can see a new temple is coming up and so many things are going on. And the Vidyanagar temple is developing both morphologically and ontologically. And where is he from? What does his mother say? He's from Delhi and his mother's concerned that he stay in Delhi, although maybe he has some other ideas himself. He's chanting Hare Krishna. What else? Do you want to say anything else? Just lost your job 2 days ago. Keshavananda Prabhu is preaching in Delhi and there are many people becoming inspired by his Krishna consciousness. Prashant Bhakta, Prashant Srivastava is one of them. Then Harinam Anand. Hindi may bolo agar, Ingrezi may nasa. Nai punya tanahi.
Hare Krishna, I am Harinam Anand Das. Now I am actually in this country
from
Siddhartha Gautama.
You are originally from, this body is from Paschim Bangla.
I'm coming from Bangladesh.
Bangladesh, Dinajpur. Dinajpur Jilla? Originally born in Bangladesh. There's so many devotees in Bangladesh by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Bangladesh and as he stated in Chaitanya Bhagavat, by his mercy, the Sankirtan is going on even now. So you also, you can travel everywhere and spread Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. And it will, its effect may go on for even many generations. So, who's next?
Hare Krishna, my name is Kashyap Das. I'm from Baroda. I'm trying to serve Krishna. Hare Krishna.
He came to Krishna consciousness in, was it Houston or Dallas? You're from Houston, you took up...
I'm from
Florida. You took to Krishna, I mean, you took to serious Krishna consciousness taught by Srila Prabhupada in America. Then you came back here.
Houston.
Houston, yeah. And actually you've been in Krishna consciousness for many years now, it must be what?
Yeah, I finished in 86.
So, yeah. About, or maybe about 20 years now. And then came back to India and made your brother and his wife, who are also here, devotees. So they're just living close by and probably the most regular of all the congregational devotees. Every morning, every evening, pretty much, isn't it? Here in the temple. Very steadily doing Gita Pravachan and preaching like this. Then.
Hare Krishna, I am Radha Mohan Das, from Amdala Temple. And you speak as well as doing stuff.
Well, I want to keep you with me now as a traveling assistant. It is good to have a traveling assistant, a fixed one. So this is day one for him. So I'd like someone to be steadily in that service.
Hare Krishna, and Hare Das, and try to be the insurer and distributor.
The younger brother of Kashyap. Hare
Krishna. My name
is Just a minute. First initiation when? 95?
95.
Another very steady old timer has been coming to this temple long before the main temple was established.
Hare Krishna, my name is Gauri Tiras. I'm doing first of teaching work. And I'm giving lecture of Bhagavad Gita in the temple.
Here in Baroda. Baroda.
Krihastha.
Hare
Krishna. Bharatas, serving in Divinity Mumbai now.
Hare Krishna. My name is Radhika Kaukula.
In Doyal Nitai. Very active preachers in Bengali and Hindi like this. Ladies? From Baroda, Dharma Patni of Shyam Chandra and Ashtashaki, Devi Dasi, Baroda mein rehte hain aur bhakti bhi karte hain aur inki beti abhi aa rahi hai. Theek hai. All right. So maybe we have a little more general discussion. After that, I'd like to have some specific discussion of some particular points, just with a few devotees whom it concerns. Then, any more questions? Discussion points on this? Yeah. Well, Goshyanandi means one who likes to be in the Goshti with many devotees and preaching. And Bhajanandi means one who withdraws himself from the world for simply to be absorbed in Bhajan. We have to take on a case-by-case basis. I would suggest we take it on a case-by-case basis. The thing is, we often find with Gauriya Math that though they're very nice devotees, usually when we mix with them, they usually start initiating everyone that we're preaching to without any discrimination, whether they're ready for initiation or whatever. That's the main problem with Gauriya Math. So we have to see what their intentions are. Many times they want to be friendly with us just to you know, by some kind of trickery practically take away the people that we're trying to bring into Krishna consciousness. That is the main problem. So we have to be careful, that's all. Otherwise, individually there may be many nice devotees in going about, but this is probably the main obstacle to better relationships between ISKCON and Gauri Mata, is their tendency just to indiscriminately initiate people who, on the spot, without considering that they're already being guided by devotees in ISKCON. It's not in very good taste, actually. And then afterwards, they start doing the same things themselves and practically working against us, the very people that we've brought to Krishna consciousness in the first place. So there are some problems, that there can be some problems that we have to see. Earlier this year, Jaipataka Maharaj asked me to go to a function in Puri at Srila Bhaktisthana Saraswati Thakur's birthplace, which he was invited to, he was unable to go to, which is organized by Gauri Amat, who are running that temple there. So I went there, and we brought a whole group of Russian devotees, happened to be in Puri at the time. Practically, there were more ISKCON devotees there than Gauri Amat devotees. So anyway, that was nice. We had a nice program. I was the main speaker, actually. They had me speak more than anyone. So that was nice. It was a nice interaction. You have to see. That's why I say you have to take it on a case-by-case basis. You have to see. But with this point, we have to be careful. So, you have one more question?
Regarding Prashant.
So far in Gujarat, we don't have much of that Gauri Mata influence. Probably because we don't have so many devotees here. They usually come where there are many people being made devotees, and where there's a good scope for them to get some, free earnings or something.
Regarding Prashad instruction, some more clarification. You can get the name, but to whom shall we distribute Prashad?
And a very good name is food for all. On, I saw in England they have a free cafe or whatever you want to call it, free prasadam distribution place, and they call it Hare Krishna Food for All, and they put underneath it this spiritual vegetarian alternative, and it's exactly, then people can immediately understand it's not just free food, welfare, fill the belly, but Hare Krishna Food for All, the spiritual vegetarian alternative. And one devotee, actually this Arjuna Das from Russia, who's serving them, he was telling me he was going to students and trying to give them prasadam. And they didn't want to take it because they feel it's kind of insult. For certain people to get free food, it's like a kind of insult, I'm not a beggar, why do I want this? But then the next day he came back with his whole, he has this cycle rickshaw in which he brings it. And it had this sign, Hare Krishna Food for All, this spiritual vegetarian alternative. And because it was presented like that we're not, it's not just, free handouts for hungry people, but rather we're promoting spiritual vegetarianism. Then they all took it. And most of them gave a donation also. And then he gave them books. So just a little adjustment in the words makes the difference between it sounding like some kind of mundane welfare work and people understanding that this is actually something. Our aim is not simply mundane belly filling, but our real aim is a spiritual aim. So it makes a difference in how people perceive us and how we perceive ourselves also. So I thought that name was very good, Food for All. And I even went to the trouble of looking on the net, which I hardly ever do. And I saw there are some organizations in America called Food for All. But anyway, we could be that also. Why not Hare Krishna? Food for All. Because it's not just meant for feeding people who are hungry. It's meant for feeding everyone. Everyone needs prasad. It's not just meant to be poor feeding. I remember some years ago, we used to, do you still do that Sankranti prasad distribution here? We were going out and we were trying to find some poor people to distribute food to. We were going in the Chopabati, like the slum area, And there, in the right there, you know, there's the young men with their fancy designer designer sunglasses, and right there in the slum, there's the beauty parlor and the video shop, and where are the poor people? You know, you'll find even in the slums, pretty much everyone has a TV. There are some places in India where people are poor. Maybe in Gujarat. In Gujarat, it's more difficult to find. You know, Orissa, Jharkhand. You'll find some people are actually very poor. But even Srikant, he was telling me that even the tribals, they also living in the forest, they're saving up money and buying TVs. So people who are genuinely hungry, there are many people who would like to get some free food so they can save some money to go to an extra movie or something like that, or to buy themselves a fancy pair of shoes. But people who are like genuinely, just like I was in Bangladesh for so many years, we always say how people are starving in Bangladesh. I never saw anyone who was starving. People are not very rich, that's for sure, but starving? No one. Yeah, in fact, they eat so much, it's just amazing. Like three times a day, huge piles of rice. I can't eat that much, even in those days. Okay, there's one particular thing I wanted to discuss with some of the preaching leaders. So, especially those who are leaders of temples or formal institutions, which isn't many. So, actually I wanted that Gokul Chandra and Akinchen could also be here, but they're not, so we'll do. I guess you could stand in for Gokul Chandra, and then Satyadananda Prabhu, Savyasachi, Keshavananda.